coming to you from the HagmanReport.com studio, located in the Keystone State, birthplace of a mighty nation. It's your host, Doug Hagman.
Welcome to Hagman. This is the Hagman Report, where truth can't be silenced. HagmanReport.com. That's HagmanReport.com. HagmanStore.com for great coffee. Hey, you know what? It's, as we approach Christmas, I'd like to wake up Christmas morning and have this aroma of fresh coffee. 3 days, really, is our attempt from the actual roaster that roasts your coffee into the bag and into your pot. 3 days. We've got Detective Source, Patriot Blend, and Revolution Blend. I'm going to tell you something. We hand-selected, and I mean hand-selected, these beans for the process. Worked with the roaster for about 6 months and developed what I think is a great line of gourmet coffee, the proceeds of which help offset the expenses of the fight against child and human sex trafficking. So when you buy our coffee, it's not just making, or it's not just profiting us, keeping us on the air, but it's also helping other groups. Russ Dizdar, for example. Craig Sawyer, for example. There you go. HagmanStore.com. I have a great show lined up for you, but before I get into, we get into the show, with me, of course, today, this is Wednesday, with me, of course, is Richard Proctor, ProvisInstitute.com. And I want to just tell everyone, okay, what we are witnessing today, and I don't think, out of all the people that we could bring on, I don't think the relevance could be, I don't think there could be any one person more relevant to what's going on than Richard Proctor, ProvisInstitute.com. I really don't. Now I want to take a little time at the front end here, just to go through a few things with him, with Richard Proctor kind of on standby. I'd like him to hear a couple of things. And again, this is encroaching on his time, but I think that we really need to set the stage for today's program, because America is on a knife's edge right now. We are on the edge of a razor, and the communist infiltration, the communists in the United States have infiltrated every single aspect of our lives, including and especially the government at all levels. You've got the federal, you got the state, you got local governments. And if you don't think that's true, if you think I'm speaking hyperbole, ask what Fang Fang was doing bang bang with America's mayors in the heartland. Or Fang Fang bang bang Swalwell. Fang Fang is just one of many. You've got Sidney Powell, of course, saying that every voting machine needs to be seized, forensically analyzed. You've got the ASOG group, of course, issuing their report, their forensic analysis of the voting machines. It's on HagmanReport.com. If you haven't seen it, you can read the entire 23-page report, the forensic analysis of the Dominion machines. Of course, yesterday you saw Dominion, which I didn't talk about this last night, but the Dominion CEO, John Polis, saying, hey, there's nothing, everything's fine. When he testified, right? Don't believe what you hear. And of course, you know, he's incensed by the taking down or the bad talk about his Dominion voting machines and the myths. Oh, it's, you know, but his, if you spend time and watch the testimony from his opening statement to the end, and I've gotten a lot of emails and people commenting, you know, if you watch his body language, you could tell he's not telling the truth. Look, you know, body language and polygraphs and such, I put in the same, and voice stress analysis. I get all of that. And yes, I agree. Now, it's subjective, of course, but I agree just on the body language by itself. Yeah, I saw some things I was very, uncomfortable with. And you know, if you turn the sound off and watch the body language of a person, you could tell. Okay. I mean, but again, that's subjective. And let me restate that. That is a subjective observation based in, a lot of research and analysis and investigative, training and stuff. So, but you don't have to be an investigator to know that we are being screwed, blued, tattooed everywhere in this country by the communists who are attempting to bring down our country from within. How don't people explain to me how people don't understand what is going on right now? Because I will tell you this. All right. I think I might have made this comparison yesterday. If a murder happens, and I've been a part of these, I get this, I understand. Not murdering people, but on the other side, investigate. Although, I'll just leave it at that. An argument could be made, right? Eric Tech's going, you better be quiet. No, I'm kidding. It's like when you interview a murder suspect or a person of interest. Now that statement or that characterization is ubiquitous, but, let's say you sit down, you have a sit down with a person of interest about the murder case. And I get the idea, for example, in this example where people don't want to turn over their DNA, I get that. I fully understand that. And I'm okay with that in a sense. But let's just make it real simple for everyone. If they don't want to be fingerprinted, which again, for the police out there, the homicide investigators, I apologize for simplifying everything. But let's say, well, I'm not going to give you my fingerprints, which again, you know, it's ridiculous, but so is everything we're seeing. Or I'm not going to tell you where I was between 7 and 9 on this day. I don't have to. I'm not going to tell you. The question then becomes, why not? Why not? Is it because you're hiding something, or is it because you have an objection to, well, providing your fingerprints or providing an alibi? What we're seeing here, the reason I brought that up is because most people who watch television crime dramas, you understand this. So what we're seeing here is not a it is a homicide. It's a homicide of our representative republic. It's a homicide of our nation. This is not a gradual, case of manslaughter of a representative republic. This is a homicide. So I would say that the analogy between a homicide and what's happening in our country is not that far off. And this comes into play when you have people who refuse. I'm not going to show you the source code. I'm not going to show. Well, wait a second. It's really simple. All right. Here's my vote. You got one vote. Put it down. So they scan it and they tabulate it. Okay. We don't need to see the guts of the machine, although that would be helpful. And that's what's taking place now. But all we should have is one vote, one candidate, and people counting the votes. We don't need the votes to go over to some other country. We don't even need we really don't need that, all of that. But that's how the homicide is being done. I do want people to understand this. What we're seeing today is the burial of the body of the homicide. This is the disposal of the body. And even, if you want to follow me on this a little bit more, even positioning the body when they find it. And those people that perhaps watch CSI or Criminal Minds or whatever, can you relate to that fact? What we're watching now is the disposal and positioning of the body, period. The homicide has already been, the homicide has been done. And that happened on November 3rd and in the run up to November 3rd. The coronavirus alleged, you know, the response to this Chinese, communist Chinese virus, the response to that by, and especially by the leftist blue states, the governors, the state legislatures, and even at the precinct level where they kicked out the right. Folks, I want you to understand this. This just didn't happen on November 3rd. November 3rd was the culmination of a series of events that led up to November 3rd. Again, my analogy with a homicide. You look at there was a TV show, the first 48, or no, well, the first 48. If you don't solve the homicide in 48 hours, the chances go down quickly. All right. Have you ever solving the homicide? And I get that. And this is what I can relate to. And I think a lot of people, again, who watch crime dramas can relate to this. So, but just as important as the first 48 after a homicide has been committed and you're finding the body or the evidence, so too is the previous 48 that of the victimology. You're leading into the murder. What happened in the previous 48 hours that led up to that murder? Again, I hope you can see the analogy here. Because generally speaking, people don't get murdered for no reason, unless they're victims of a spree or serial killer. There's a difference, but generally speaking, the majority of the time, the victims know their assailants and their perpetrators. But in this case, this was a hit job. This was a hit job by the communist left. And it's not one group or one person or one, even one side, because we have the right now, the members of the RINOs or the Republican Committee facilitating the disposal of the body. Every person, in my view, in the House and the Senate, the RINOs especially, every person at the state level in the state legislatures, either did one of three things. They actively were involved in the homicide of our nation. They were the perpetrator themselves. They perpetrated the crime. The second class of person would be those who facilitated, aided and abetted, accessory before and after the fact, and during, perhaps. Maybe they drove the car. And then you have the third class. And I don't really know where to put the third class, except to say that their heads are so far up their rear ends that they just don't know what's going on, or they don't give a damn. It's that third class of individuals that the left-wing media relies upon to keep everything hidden. Now, I've got just earlier today, the House met in a subcommittee, Homeland Security Subcommittee meeting to address election and voter fraud. Now, there's a difference between election and voter fraud, as you've heard me say before. In my view, in my classification, election fraud is the wider systemic organized fraud, for example. And again, this is in my analysis, research and analysis, in my view, you've got people like Mark Zuckerberg putting $400 million into a system, exploiting this COVID response. In other words, allowing these drop boxes to be placed in various Democratic strongholds that multiplies or facilitates the vote, or more appropriately, facilitates the fraudulent vote. And then you've got the machines themselves. You've got the software, not including or disinclusive of the machines. So, and then you've got the media who's AWOL on this, or either AWOL or complicit. And what's the difference? AWOL, you don't talk about it, right? If you don't talk about it, it didn't happen. Complicit, of course, knowing that it happened, but you still don't talk about it. But that's what we have in the mainstream media. So then anyone who dares talk about it on Facebook or Twitter, you either get flagged or you get muzzled. This is what happened to us on YouTube. We've been muzzled because the next time I'm going to tell you flat out, the next time I put up a video, and if I say, I'm not going to couch my words, but because if I said everything I said to this point right now, I would have to, YouTube would require me to say that, oh, this election has been decided, the electors have been in. So no, I'm not saying that because it is not, it has not. I want people to understand constitutionally. And this is why, again, Richard Proctor is relevant to this because constitutionally we have one president. This country has one president at a time. And the president right now is President Donald J. Trump. And by the looks of things, because of the dueling electors, slate of electors in various states, and also of things that have happened today, this election is far, far, far from over. And that brings me to another point. I'm tired of the wussies, the pansy asses out there who say, well, you know, for example, Mitch McConnell, we say, let's congratulate, Joe Biden. You know, the electoral college has spoken. You know what? They might have spoken, but they lied their asses off. What part of lies don't you get? Not you, the audience, but, or maybe you do get. Again, remember the classes of individuals and people and organizations I was talking about. In the death of a nation, the homicide, the murder of a nation, of a representative republic. You're either a perp or aiding the perp. Or you get the idea, right? I'm not going to beat that horse any longer. So what happened today? But let me finish that thought. I'm tired of these people acquiescing and saying, well, the Electoral College has spoken. Bullcrap. Yeah, just as the person of interest sitting across from me has said, well, I was at a movie from 7 to 9. Which, by the way, it would be impossible today, right? Because the state has spoken. We have to lock everything down. Oh, God forbid. Or I was home with my wife, playing Monopoly. No, you weren't. No, you weren't. They might, that person might have spoken. But what good is a statement if it's a lie? And what good is a lie if they're not called out about it? And this works. This is another thing though. What happened today should give every thinking person in this country an idea of what is going on and the fact that right now we need patriots to fix it. Understand this. 911 is not going to help you. There is no one coming to our rescue, patriots. There is no grandiose, secret, super secret plan where JFK Jr. is going to come through this hole, magically resurrected, and save the day or whatever is supposed to happen, right? You've been hosed. If you believe that, you've been hosed. And I don't give a damn if you say, well, you know what? You're not helping things. Trust the plan. That's a whole another subject. But how's that going for you? On this, the 16th day of December, 2020. How's that going for you? I ask. This is what I want to show you earlier today, because I think this best shows where we're at with things. Now, when I assailed the plan, the fringe elements of that, of course, obviously. And I have to say this. I'm glad people are asking questions. I'm glad that got people to ask questions. I'm glad that educated people. Anytime questions are asked and people are educated, I like that. So that element of it, that's great. But don't rely on somebody coming to your aid, because it's not going to happen. If we want justice, for example, it is up to us and only us. I asked Richard Proctor about the Supreme Court and if that was a good decision and all of that too coming up. But I just, again, he could not be more relevant. And this is the other thing too. There are people that watch this show, and God bless you and thank you for watching this show. But if we've got, and let's say 100, I'm going to just use this number, 100,000 people who watch today or listen, because we're on multiple platforms. You know, people look, oh, you only got 4,000 views on. Well, you know what? It doesn't count all of the other platforms that we stream on, audio, video. Okay, so anyway, well, let's just say 100,000 who listen, watch, or otherwise hear today's broadcast. I care. Well, if you care, what are you going to do about it? What have you done about it? Have you, and this is not a book or a pitch for the sales pitch for the book, but I guess it will be. Have you even read Saving the Constitution? Have you even read it? If you read it, you would be up on, for example, you'd know where things stand right now. You'd know that Mitch McConnell saying what he did is a bunch of crap. You know that the Electoral College, just because they met and voted, that there's a whole bunch of things that have to happen between now and the 6th of January. You'd understand the process. People, and every single day I get emails from people who don't understand the process. Folks, you've got to be educated. But even with that, you've got to say, you know what? Enough is enough. I know I cannot depend on this person here or that person there. I've got to do something about it. So there's three videos here, and I'm going to have Eric play the first video. And then, I'm going to give you a little commentary. The second video, again, the first two are from the Homeland Security Committee meeting. The first one is after the introduction by Senator Ron Johnson. And this, my friends, is this dress down. And I'm going to explain this in advance. This is this dress down by Senator Gary Peters from Michigan, this Democratic Socialist Communist bastard from Michigan. Yes, I said that. Remember that line from "You Can't Handle the Truth"? You know, I want the truth. You can't handle the truth, right? Remember that line? Well, obviously, Senator Gary Peters can't handle the truth. Doesn't want to hear it. Doesn't want to see the truth. Because I'm in favor, in this case, of full transparency of our voting system, election system. I guarantee you, okay, the alibis, oh no, they're not going to stick. He wasn't with his wife playing Monopoly, watching a movie, or whatever it might be. So in this country right now, really you only have two types of people, I would say. The people who are actively engaging in the homicide of our republic. And this second kind, facilitating either before or after the fact or during the fact. And then the people who do nothing, say nothing, see nothing, can't be bothered. Or think that someone else is going to rescue them. It ain't happening. Because it's up to us. So the first video is Senator Gary Peters after the introduction saying Senator Johnson said, we need to get to the bottom of this because people are great. The number, we're winning on the numbers, folks. We are the number of people who are saying, wait a minute, wait, what? The election, are you telling me that, wait, what? My ballot's a fractional vote? Oh, well, no, it's not. I'm John Ballas. No, it's not. Well, wait a minute. A forensic analysis says it is. So one of you is lying. I was home with my wife playing Monopoly. No, he was in the study with a, what's that? Eric the Tech, Professor Plum with a hammer in the study or something. I don't know, whatever. You see what I mean? Let's go to Senator Gary Peters earlier today, Homeland Security ranking member. And bear in mind, when I say that, I get chills up my spine. Homeland Security member. Member of the Homeland Security Committee. Which brings me to a question that Dr. Proctor and I will be talking about. Security clearances. Which, again, the second video will address the other issues. But so the first video here is going to be Senator Gary Peters after the introduction with Ron Johnson saying, look, we just want to see we have to restore the integrity in the elections. Also, we have to, restore the faith of the electorate. Well, you can do that by showing the evidence. Show me what you got. Give me your alibi. Oh, you don't, give me your fingerprints. Oh, you don't want to give fingerprints? You don't want to say where you were? Okay. All right. Sit there. You sit there for a little bit. I'll be back. All Senator Johnson wants is that. Now, understand this. One caveat on this. The individuals who are appeared to testify today, they're the second, third, fourth string. You bring people like the head of ASOG, the group, in to testify. You don't bring the second string, fourth string, whatever, third string in. You bring the first string in to testify. That's not what happened today. But nonetheless, here's Senator Gary Peters' response, Democrat from Michigan. Go ahead and play this.
And despite the title of today's hearing, there were no widespread election irregularities that affected the final outcome. These claims are false, and giving them more oxygen is a grave threat to the future of our democracy. Now, I understand the chairman's desire to ensure our elections run smoothly, and I agree that we need to restore faith and trust in our election process. But I'm concerned that today's hearing will do more harm than good by confusing a few anecdotes about human error with the insidious claims the president has aired. Mistakes do happen in elections, but there is a difference between a clerk making an error that gets caught and corrected during routine audits and calling the entire election fraudulent or stolen when there is no evidence just because you do not like the outcome. Amplifying these obviously false narratives about fraud or irregularities corrodes public trust. It threatens national security. And it weakens our democracy and our standing around the world. Every time the president or his followers make these false claims, they destabilize our relationships with our allies and allow authoritarian adversaries to undercut American democratic leadership around the globe. Democracy and a free society are not guaranteed. We have seen democracies around the world crumble because of similar words and actions. When executives abuse their power, when political leaders work to stifle the free press, and when they delegitimize the principle of one person, one vote, it puts our country on a dangerous path towards authoritarianism.
Yeah. Well, Senator Gary Peters, okay. First of all, take the friggin' face diaper off, will you? So we can hear you. Oh, the mask of submission. Take that off. But okay, fine. You want to talk with it on and be muffled? Go ahead. But what you just saw there, in the context of a homicide, the homicide of our nation, What you just saw there, folks, is a, in my view, the legal defense argument. That's a that's a defense argument in a courtroom for the homicide, the guy that's charged with homicide. That's what that is. If you, using the same analogy. That is trying to mitigate the exposure of your client, and maybe that analogy isn't that far off, your client's exposure to the legal system. Maybe that's what's going on here. And that certainly sounds an awful lot like a legal defense argument in that should be, in a courtroom, as opposed to trying to clear your client by saying, hey, he couldn't have done this. You get where I'm going? All right. Now, the next clip very quickly is, and I know that, and I want to thank, Richard Proctor for being so kind and letting me go through this and waiting there on deck, and I appreciate that. But this next clip is kind of it's the response by Senator Johnson, Ron Johnson, who I've got a new admiration for, with the exception of the fact that, this could have been done differently in terms of getting the first string in there. But, Ron Johnson, his response, and then this loudmouth diaper face, Gary Peters, complicit at least, rendering these vociferous objections. And look, there were other times during this hearing, but at least this gives you the foundation, I believe, for what's going on. So let's play clip two.
So it's just galling, and I just have to point out that the purveyors of Russian disinformation, Hillary Clinton's campaign, the DNC, the Steele dossier, the ranking member Peters accusing Senator Grassley and I of disseminating Russian disinformation, that's where the disinformation is coming. That's where the false information, the lies, the false allegations. I can't sit by here and listen to this and say that this is not disinformation, this hearing today. This is getting information we have to take a look at to restore confidence in our election integrity. We're not going to be able to just move on without bringing up these irregularities, examining them, and providing an explanation and see where there really are problems so we can correct it moving forward. Senator Paul.
Mr. Chairman, I got to respond to that. I mean, you're saying I'm putting out information. Well, one, I had nothing to do with this report.
You lied repeatedly.
I lied repeatedly
in the press that I was spreading Russian disinformation, and that was an outright lie, and I told you to stop lying, and you continue to do it.
Mr. Chairman, this is not about airing your grievances. I don't know what rabbit hole you're running down.
You talked about Russian disinformation.
Down rabbit holes.
Senator Paul.
This is simply not what we're dealing
Senator
with. Well, Mr. Chairman, you can't make
Judge
false
Starr.
Allegations. And then dropping it there. That is why this needs to return back
Good
to
star,
its partisan things. This is terrible what you're doing to this committee and all the great work that you talked about.
It is what you have done to this committee.
It is not
falsely accusing the chairman of spreading disinformation. Nothing could have been further from the truth, and you're spouting it again, which is why I had to respond.
Paul.
Mr. Chairman.
Judge Starr.
This is outrageous.
Judge Starr.
All right, that was the response, and the reason I put that up there was to show you the responses, the back and forth, because I believe that encapsulates where this country is right now. I think it lays it out pretty well, and you're either on the side of right, the side of truth, the side of good, or you're on the side of evil. I would also submit if you're on the side of silence, that you're on the side of evil. Because if you don't speak up and speak out, you might as well just say, look, I'm on the side of evil. And one last video. And this is going to be a little longer. And then Richard Proctor's got the entire platform to himself. And for this, I hope before I play this last video, I hope everyone listening and watching this at least visits the Provis Institute and at least purchases Saving the Constitution. And that makes a great Christmas gift for anyone, or Hanukkah gift for anyone. And there's more at provisinstitute.com. Now, this next video, this is a an encapsulation of what was aired on Monday. And again, I'd like Richard Proctor to comment on this after this is shown. Knowing where we are right now, that there's no one coming to save us, that we are fighting for, not for President Trump, but we're fighting for the very survival of this nation. Because when we checked, the homicide investigators went out to look, and you know what? My gosh, we found a pulse. The body is being airlifted to the nearest trauma center. Maybe that person will make it. Maybe. But how do we respond? Legally, lawfully, where somebody will listen to us. Again, that's the key. How did the, and this is not to disparage the march last weekend, but did that change anything? We had a whole bunch of people in D.C. demanding, making demands of things, of making things right. Stop the steal. God bless them. Every single person there, God bless every single person who took the time to go out there. God bless them. True patriots. But my question about that is this. That they lifted, I'll stipulate to this, they lifted the awareness of what's going on to the American public, because sometimes the massive numbers, you can't ignore that. People can't ignore that, and they start asking questions. So they've done their job. But my question is there more that should be done? Without any further discussion, let's play this last clip in its entirety. Then we're going to go directly to Richard Proctor. Go ahead.
One of the reasons I'm on today is to get people to start spreading the word. We're going to start moving around the country on January 2nd and 3rd to D.C. armed in large groups. Get with your local militia, get your large group together, and start moving to D.C. armed. Because on January 4th, we need to be in mass in D.C. armed, demanding, not asking, demanding that we get a peaceful resolution to these voter corruption issues, these election corruption issues, and that certain people be brought to trial and held to account. All of the heads of all of these agencies that are charged with securing the United States that did absolutely nothing to secure this election or to expose any of this massive voter fraud. We need a coordinated effort. We all need to move on the same days. If you're out west, you probably want to start moving on the 1st or the 2nd. If you're in the Midwest, the 3rd, and plan on being in D.C. on December 4th. We are going to make our presence felt, and we need to. And you need to be smart enough to travel in large groups armed. Police don't want a fair fight. If you travel in groups of 4, they'll surround you with 15, 20 policemen at gunpoint and take your guns and arrest you on some bogus charge, which will be a 242 violation, you know, false denial of rights under the color of law kind of thing. But that's how the police operate. That's why you see Proud Boys being arrested, but you don't see Antifa being arrested. All this stuff is manipulated. And the only way to prevent your own personal manipulation is to travel in large enough groups armed that the policemen don't want to fight. And you know, sometimes you just have to tell policemen that don't have the spine to stand up against the defund the police crowd is, hey, no worries, we'll take care of your problem for you. Just stand aside. You know, and that's what we need to do. And people need to move en masse, and you need to get your act together. You've got about 2 weeks to get your groups together and move to D.C., and we need to put an end to this corruption.
What I heard Sam say, John, and Sam, correct me if I'm wrong, but you're saying, okay, we've got militias,
plural, or we've got groups. We're going to D.C. We're going to be armed, and we're going to demand, that justice be done. And that's coming. I mean, you got the keys in the ignition, and you got the bag packed. You're ready to go. Is this what I'm hearing you say?
Absolutely. And so it's important to note that what you don't want to do is react. Okay. You don't want to be reacting in some off the cuff way, and not in a coordinated way. You want to be prepared so that your response is a prepared, well thought out response. And so I told a number of my friends, this is not the militia going to DC to take over the government. That is a misnomer. What this is concerned Americans concerned about election fraud, traveling to D.C., exercising their First and their Second Amendment rights at the same time. They'll tell you you can't do that, by the way. They'll tell you you can't exercise your First Amendment rights and your Second Amendment rights. And you certainly can't exercise your Second Amendment rights in D.C.
Okay, rather than play the entire clip.
Well, you can and you will.
Thank you. We're going to stop it right there. You get the idea. And folks, go to Rumble or Brighteon, and you can find that clip. It's also at HagmanReport.com, but Brighteon or Rumble. And while you're there, subscribe. Please subscribe to this platform. But there it is on Rumble. Don't just talk like an American. Act like one. And I would also dare say that includes educating yourself as an American as to what the Constitution says, what it means, and have a full understanding of why the left is going after the Electoral College, why they want to abolish the Electoral College. But look at this. Sam Andrews, save the date, January 4th. And this is to any patriotic American out there that is responsible, that feels like they don't want to see the murder of our republic take place. Because right now, I think we can save the victim. The victim, of course, is our republic. By the way, it's not a democracy. Peters should be given multiple copies of Saving the Constitution. One in both ears. You remember Gordon Ramsay, Idiot Sandwich? And one to read. Richard Proctor, ProvisInstitute.com. Thank you for being so very, very patient. And thank
hey
you.
Guys,
thank you.
That's not just two copies against his ears. That's three copies. One to hit his ears and one to read. But he's got to know how to read first, and I'm sure he doesn't know how to read either. You readers read everything, not just what they want to read. Our buddy Sam Andrews is on target, 100%. Now, I wouldn't have gotten to this for a few minutes, but I'm going to say this right now. We are back at 1776, and we must pull out the Declaration of Independence, and we must read the first two chapters. Verses. Paragraphs. We don't have to go through all of the accusations against England, because that's full of accusations against our current power, the current power that's against us. Now, I've got to ask a question, Doug. I need to know something. Sam Andrews is talking about going to Washington, armed militia, all kinds of stuff. Go as a group so the police can't stop you and arrest you, because they will want to. Is Trump with him?
We don't know who's with him or against him. We have no idea. This was just announced on Monday.
I understand
Monday.
You don't know, but do you feel like Trump is with him? Do you feel like Trump is with him? My feeling is that he is, but
yes.
I don't have any information about it.
From what I know from behind the scenes, the short answer is yes. And there's, yes. Now, yes.
Okay, next question. Are there military naval vessels around circling our coasts.
Based on the reports, credible reports I've seen, I believe there are. Now, again, credible reports.
I've heard there are two carrier groups, one on each coast.
That's my understanding.
That's a lot of boats.
You're right. And that's my understanding. I can't confirm it.
I'm just asking.
I don't know.
Everybody should be thinking about these questions I'm asking. Next question.
That's a good question.
Are the GIs being called for Christmas back to the States? Is the military being called back to the States for Christmas?
We know that there has been a reduction in forces overseas, a call for that, whether or not the military-industrial complex has actually moved on that, I don't know.
Okay, I'm just curious. I'm just asking these questions because it's all germane. It's all germane. What's a martial law? What is martial law? Any ideas, folks? Any ideas what martial law is?
And Mr. Proctor, let me just say this. It's M-A-R-T-I-A-L. Okay, folks, if you're going to talk about it, spell it properly. If you're going to write about it, spell it properly. Go ahead, sir.
Yeah, martial law. What is it? Just basically, what is it? What's your thoughts?
Me?
Yeah.
It is a suspension of habeas corpus, suspension of our rights, suspension of the Constitution.
Yeah, those are the big words, but what are the small words? It's military acting for the government against the citizens.
There you go.
Yes.
Yeah. Martial law. Yes.
Military people acting against the citizens. That's right. Martial law. Sometimes the citizens they're acting against need to be acted against. But they talk about we're going to have the military distributing these vaccines to make sure everybody gets them. That is martial law, folks. Don't let anybody call it any different. It's not a helper. It's martial law. They are coming to ensure you get your shots. If there's a guy there with a gun and a uniform, that's martial law. Don't mix it up with, I'm here from the government. I'm here to help you. That's martial law. So we have a group of people calling for martial law right now. In a different way, but they're still calling for the same thing. What's a military tribunal?
That would be the Uniform Code of Military Justice body adjudicating criminal activity against
criminals.
Criminals. Thank you. I guess I guess. There you go.
It's usually just military people. It's usually just military people judging other military people. Is there ever a time when you might have military people judging non-military people?
I don't know. I mean,
treason. Treason. Seditious activities. Treason. That's when a military body will put on trial non-military people because they are treasonous to the country. Okay, now I've defined a few terms here, folks. Now let's talk a little bit about what I think is in fact going on. Is that okay?
I just handed the ball off to you. Absolutely.
Thank you very much. I'm not going to throw it away. I'm going to keep it for a few minutes. You ask questions, please, Doug, as we go.
All right.
This particular set of circumstances was presented to me on the show I was on with Patrick Timpone on Monday. He asked, what's the constitutionality of the election? Can the election be overturned? If so, how? Okay. Those were the three questions couched in the item that he put on the screen. Constitutionality of the election, can it be overturned, and how? I see myself as playing a role, among others, of Paul Revere. Just a little different phrase. The socialists are coming. The socialists are coming. They're going to destroy our country. The socialists are coming. That's the role I see myself, along with many others, playing. Let's discuss those three questions. The constitutionality of the election. Absolutely none. Okay? None. Zero, zip, none. Oh, but the Electoral College is meeting in the states and they're choosing. No, they're not. The Electoral College is meeting in the states and they're being parrots to what the corruption did. They're not meeting. That's not how the Electoral College works. We're playing around with terms here. We're playing around and saying the Electoral College is functioning. It is not functioning. It has never functioned since 1776. It never has. Is that clear? Did I say enough words there? It's a sham. Oh, of course, I know the numbers are there, and the numbers protect the small states from the big states and all that kind of stuff. And I understand that, and that concept is being done, but how it's being done is not right. We're going to jump right in the middle and say this is all constitutional because we're going to meet on a particular day, and it's going to be sent to the center, and they're going to open the envelopes and all that stuff. It's a sham. Let's go back to what's really supposed to happen, and that will decide whether this election is constitutional or not. What's really supposed to happen is there's supposed to be no politicking whatsoever. None. Nobody's volunteering to do the office. Nobody is asking for other people's support. Nobody. None. That's how the Constitution is set up. Nothing happens before the date that the has been set aside as Monday, this last Monday, for the Electoral College to meet. Nothing is to have happened before that date. Nothing. Now, when they meet, what are they supposed to do? This is the first act of the electing the president, the very, very first thing. There's nothing transpired before this. The very first thing is they are to sit in a room together in their state, themselves, not talking among one another, just doing what they've been asked to do. Select two people. The 12th Amendment changes it to two people, one for vice president, one for president. The original Constitution just says select two people for president, and we'll choose the vice president from that group. Well, the original Constitution is the correct one. The 12th Amendment has unconstitutional points there. Nonetheless, it's there. I would throw out the 12th Amendment in its entirety. In fact, that's what I do in the Saving the Constitution book. I throw out the 12th Amendment in its entirety. Okay? The Constitution itself does the job. We don't need to play around with it, pretending like we're doing something better. We're not. We've destroyed the integrity of it. And then, by the way, there's been no amendment after that. So why do we have political parties doing anything? Any only thing they're doing is destroying the integrity of our country. So what's supposed to happen? Those men and women are supposed to meet in a room in their state and each individually choose who that person feels would be the best statesman for our country as president. And it doesn't matter who they choose. They have that option. There's nothing happened before that minute, except those people who have been selected on the 8th have been looking around and thinking about who they are going to present. Period. Nobody's volunteering. Nobody's coming in a committee and saying, I'm willing, I want to do this. Oh, and I'll give you money if you'll elect me, and I'll give you money if you'll do that. And if you don't do it, I'm going to shoot you at sunrise. That's not going on. Those people meet in their states, and they select who they think would be the best person for president. They know the rules. They know that you can't be a citizen of this country if you're not born of parents of this country. They know that. They know you can't be a citizen if you're not born in the country and of parents. You can be born in China if you have a person that's a U.S. citizen. Then you're considered a national-born person. In the days of 1787, they really couldn't say that because nobody was doing that kind of stuff. But we are today. So that's been defined as a person born from a citizen of the United States, is a citizen of the United States, and is natural born. That's the definition right there. If you don't have any parents that are citizens of the United States, you are not a citizen. That's clear as clear. Therefore, Obama wasn't a citizen, and this young lady, Harris, is not a citizen. She's a citizen of Jamaica or India or both, but not the U.S. She has no ties with the United States at all, except in corrupted means. Okay, so now we've established how that's done. That's the first thing that's done. Then those names are sealed in an envelope and sent to Congress, and that's correct. And we're going to do that, and they're going to go there. And Congress is going to go open them, and Congress is going to count them. But Congress is not counting the nominations of those electorals. Congress is counting what the people have told those electorals to choose, or the liars have told those electorals to choose, or those electorals are already a part of the lie, and they're ready to do the lies because they want the lies. And there are those among them, folks. So it's all screwed up. There is nothing, nothing about this election that is constitutional. So can it be corrected? Can it be overturned? As I listen to Sam Anderson talk, it appears to me there could be two groups rather than just one that could overturn this election and put it on its right road. The first one, and the one I prefer and I hope is in the works, the President of the United States. There is no other. We have one President of the United States. Till January 20th at noon, that man is President of the United States with all power that the President of the United States has. This other dude that's on the coat strings of the liars, he didn't have any authority whatsoever at this moment. Nothing. None. I don't care if the Electoral College voted for him 100%. He has no power. Nor does anybody else in that group have any power. The President of the United States is Donald Trump until noon, January 20th. Period. There's nobody else. I look to him for guidance. He can overthrow this thing if he wants to. He can stop it, just like Lincoln stopped the country from being divided. He can stop the country from being divided also. I champion his desires to stop this. Some of what I'm going to say now appears like I am violating the Constitution. Folks, there is no Constitution to violate in our country today. There isn't one. The Supreme Court, in the only action it ever really has done that I know of that was absolutely correct, turned it down and said they wouldn't look at it. There was a state that was suing other states. That's a controversy between two states. They are original jurisdiction, and they bottomed out, threw it to the trash, threw it under the bus. Oh, we don't want to be involved. What do you mean you don't want to be involved? By not being involved, you have decreed this country to the trash heap. You are a part of the problem. There were two who said they didn't want to be a part of the problem, but they still were because they didn't come out against this. They didn't come out and say, we must look at the evidence. We must know before we make a decision. We must know what's wrong or right. We must look at it. They didn't say that. They just said, well, I wouldn't vote for him anyway, but we ought to hear him. No, that's not right. We have 9 people that we think we should rely on that let us down completely. They don't care. They don't care. Now I'm going to recommend what I would say. Remember, you had the question is, can it be overturned? And the next question was, how? Okay, folks. The first thing we've got to do, I'm saying this as the president has got to do. Not me, because I'm not the president. Not Sam Anderson, because he's not the president either. But if there is no president acting as a president, then we need to rely on men like Sam Anderson. Did you understand what I just said? There's only one president, but if he's going to turn and run, then we don't have a president, and we don't have a constitution either. And the date is 1776. It's being replayed. Okay. This is what I believe should occur. It should occur from the President of the United States. That's why I asked the question, because I've heard rumors that there are naval vessels in the coast, on the coast, our naval vessels. First thing that I would do, and I've thought about this long and hard for a good part of a month, the first thing that I would do is I would get together with the Pentagon folks, fire everyone that wasn't with me, get their butts out of the room, every one of them. I would fire every cabinet member that's not with me, every person that they're working with that's not with me, and get their butts out of the room. We don't want their influence. We don't want them there. He has the power, you know, to do that. Next, after we've got the Pentagon and its group cleaned out, then we would set a plan. And this plan will be exercised by the military martial law. These people would have agreed to send the military naval forces around the coast. All military bases would be prepared by what I'm going to say next. First thing that he would do is bring the military people home from overseas, the vast majority of them, and form significantly large details. Platoons, if you would. Not squads, not big enough. Platoons, if you would. Those platoons would have sealed orders to be opened at a particular minute on a particular day. One set of those people, some of those people, some of those platoons, some of those details with those sealed orders would go to every international port, every international location, every international airport, every one of them. And they'd just be there. They wouldn't do anything till they opened their orders. They would just be there. I don't care if they played Monopoly in the back room, as long as they're there with uniforms and proper weapons. Next, details of the same size or larger would be sent to every major city in the United States. Every major city in the United States. Depending on the size of the city is the number of details that are sent there. With sealed orders to be opened at a particular day at a particular moment. The particular moment and the particular day would be established so that everybody was opening them at the same time, all the way from Maine to Alaska to Hawaii. The same moment, the officers in charge would open their envelopes at that moment and read those orders. Those orders would consist, depending on where you are, if you're in the international borders, those orders consist of a list of all of the people that they are to arrest immediately. And if any of those people try to flee the country, they're to arrest them right there, right that minute, as they try to get out. Don't let them out. They're on the list. They don't leave. Send them to the nearest FEMA camp, on the nearest military establishment that has been locked. No civilians are allowed on that base, that post, that naval base. The boats are circling the coast for people to take some of those arrestees to those boats and put them on them. They'll be in those boats and they'll be in big lockdown areas, not communicating with each other either. Lockdown. This is massive. The people that open those orders in the major cities, those details, would also have a list of who in the area they're in they are to arrest. And they're supposed to do it immediately. What will those lists include? This is how this is my thoughts. These are my thoughts. Notice this is not constitutional at all. This is a dictatorship. Well, we don't have a constitution. We must have a leader who will help get this thing done. We have got to get this cancer out of our country. If we don't excise this cancer, it will loom its, bring up its head again in a couple of months, weeks. Who's on the list? Every person that in any way, shape, or form has in any way impeded the proper election process. And I don't care who. The janitor of the room that the people were in. People who boarded up the windows. People who cast others out. All of them. Everybody that in any way, shape, or form had anything to do with the destruction of our election this time. That doesn't just mean the election day. That means all the media who have falsified reports. All the media have done everything they could do. All the pollsters who have done anything they can do. Anybody, because we are at war and these are treasonous activities. And in the Revolutionary War, we hung them on the same day that they were tried. Now, I'm not saying we should go to that. I'm saying that they're going to be sent to FEMA camps to then meet a military tribunal, and no civilian attorneys will be there because civilian attorneys in this instance will just muck up the waters. That's what they're best at, to mucking up the waters. Look what the Supreme Court just did. They're supposed to be top-notch constitutionalists. They're supposed to be top-notch lawyers. They're supposed to be top-notch judges. And what did they do? They muddied the waters with garbage so they wouldn't have to do the job they're tasked to do. By the way, those nine names are on the list. And almost all of the House is on the list. Much of the Senate is on the list. Almost all of the Cabinet's on the list. And those military people that they fired and got their butts out of the office are on the list. The FEMA camps are full. Rather than being full of patriots that these other folks would do, they're full of the bad guys that the patriots want to be protected against. The military tribunals would begin immediately. There will be some people who were in a position where they were threatened life and limb if they didn't do it, and they said, okay, we'll do it, and they did. I'll give those people the benefit of the doubt. But I won't give any of those people who have made words and said words against the United States of America any doubt at all. I'm not going to say what the judgment should be, but I think we should have a very busy execution area. Now, I'm counting on, I hope these are not poor choices, I am counting on that as soon as Trump cleans house, he will then return to the Constitution, just like Lincoln did, return to the Constitution and carry on constitutionally. There is no way we can redo this election. First, you can't even vote for most of the people because they're in FEMA camps. What we need to do is set down a vast educational program using Saving the Constitution as the textbook. Okay? That book teaches the Constitution as it was written, as it was intended, and there's nothing, no other book that does it. So this is the only book they've got. But it's enough. It doesn't teach every eeny, meeny thing about the Constitution, but it teaches what the Constitution is and what we should be doing in these steps. Go back to the Constitution. I have volunteered to be on the 1776 Commission, and I know the Constitution at least as well as anyone else around us, maybe a little bit better, and I could help guide that group to stay on the Constitution. That would be my purpose. No other purpose. I'm making any decisions. Just guide people to what the Constitution says at certain moments on certain things. Oh, by the way, there's some more people that are going to be on this list, too, in addition to all the people that did the voting. All the people who championed the lie and backed up the lie of this damn hoax and locked down this country. There's going to be a lot of governors, a lot of legislatures, a lot of lieutenant governors, a lot of health department, a lot of sheriffs. A lot of people are going to be on the list. Our entire United States government facilities will be hurt. They won't have the people there to do the jobs that need to be done. So there'll have to be some special elections to fill some empty spots. But the people that are going to fill the empty spots will be honest. They won't, or they would be in the FEMA camp. They're not going to run for any office in the FEMA camps. And those camps are now crowded. It's a good thing we have a lot of military establishments where we can put people in barracks or anything to keep them away from the people and then have each one of them tried quickly. Doesn't have to take months or years or days. Quickly. The evidence is there. It's easy to read. It's easy to see. Every one of us who have been looking know it. That's what I think should be done. It only took me, let me see, it only took me a half an hour to go over what I think should be done. And if, no, Sam Anderson can't do all I just said.
By the way, just to be exact, Sam Andrews.
Sam Andrews. Yeah, not Sam Andrews.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. Use the name right. I misunderstood it, miswrote it down.
Calling him Sam Adams for the longest time. So.
Oh, that's a good name. That'd be good.
Yeah.
That would be a very nice name for a person that shows his stamina, desire, and fortitude. I could be helpful him with the Constitution. I can't be helpful with him of holding a gun. Oh, I know how to shoot him, but I don't know. You know, I'm an old dude. I'm not able-bodied. Okay,
I'm going to
go by the excuses. I'm an old dude.
Well, we'd be on our hover rounds, right? You and me, just out there.
But I can sure be there helping them understand the Constitution and teaching and making sure that everybody is not violating the Constitution itself. After we've arrested all the people who are criminals, somehow. But I don't think that Sam has that authority.
I'm not sure how to do that. Well,
the president does, so get busy. We need him to stand up.
And that goes back to the first question you asked. Does President Trump know about this? Well, I'll tell you what. I guarantee you all the left-wing sites know about this based on what I've seen. They're not saying much, but they know about this. And I don't know. I'm kind of waiting for the knock on my door. The petition, what Sam Andrews is going to do is, he's going to petition President Trump to do pretty much exactly what you said, although he said about invoking the Insurrection Act. Is the Insurrection Act, and how's that compared to martial law?
I'm sorry. I'm not sure what the Insurrection Act is that he's referring to. There are so many acts. I don't know them all.
All right.
But I do know this, that the EOs, the executive orders that he passed, that he signed in 2018 all fit the bill.
Okay, yeah, which we know that those EOs are out there. All right. Yeah, I'm not going to. Now, the other thing, I waited until you finished because I've got a couple of questions. You use the word overturn. And I have no problem with anything you said. And I pray to God that happens. Because I'm reminded of the movie 7 Days in May. That was 1964. But the script is flipped a little bit. But anyway, overturned. I don't see how we can overturn. There's nothing to overturn. We have to.
I'm not sure I remember when I used the word overturned. Help me understand where that sentence was.
A lot of people are using the phrase overturn the results. Okay. Overturn the results of the election.
Well, there are no results. I'm sorry. It's been done. We're not overturning anything.
Right.
The law of the land established in 1997 or something like that. The law of the land says there's an election day and the Supreme Court as it is said unanimously that there is an election day and it ends at midnight. So the election ended at midnight, not 2:30 in the morning or 4 or the next day or Friday or a week later. There no votes can be counted after midnight. Done. That's what the law says. The federal law says of 1997 in that neighborhood.
Okay. Now, okay. What we just talked about, the Insurrection Act. Sidney Powell has been sending out messages on Twitter about this very issue. And there's also, she pointed, in one of her recent tweets, she pointed to a history.com, site or column that describes the Insurrection Act of 1807, how Thomas Jefferson signed the Insurrection Act in 1807 to foil a plot by Aaron Burr, okay? And you can read it. The link will be in the program description box at HagemanReport.com. So anyway, that's what I was referring to. And I'll just read real quick the first couple of sentences here, just to give people an idea what I'm talking about in terms of the Insurrection Act. The Insurrection Act gives U.S. presidents the authority to deploy active military to maintain or restore peace in times of crisis. It was invoked numerous times in the 20th century, most famously when Dwight D. Eisenhower sent the 101st Airborne Division to enforce the desegregation of public schools in Little Rock, Arkansas. But the origins date back over 200 years, and that gets into the Aaron Burr situation. So that's kind of what she was referring to.
But, okay, I agree with that 100%. There's nothing to disagree with.
Okay.
That gives him authority as well. That's a law. He doesn't have to go to his executive's orders of 1997 or whatever that date was. Isn't that, now you can go back to that. That's a law. That can be done. It can be books, not off the books. It's there.
All right. Which I think, you know, you and I spend weeks, you know, every Wednesdays, we talk about the Constitution. And this is, we are right now, and I think you'd agree, we're in a constitutional crisis. We're in a crisis for the very soul of our republic, right?
I mean. Yes, yes. And just to say here, I say 1776, Trump has exhausted every legal means to get this thing corrected. And he's been rebuffed at every turn. Rebuffed. So he went finally to the Supreme Court and they said, no, we won't look at it. We don't care if there was corruption or not. We don't care. We're going to just stay apart. Don't worry. Don't bother us. And they had original jurisdiction in that case. They had to see it and they did not. So where's that?
And the two dissenting justices were Thomas and Alito. They wanted to hear the case, but it was dismissed out of hand. I mean, lack of standing, if I'm not mistaken.
That's what they said. I don't know how you can call a state lack of standing, but they figure out ways to say anything they want. And they could actually say black is white and everybody would have agreed because it's seven justices of the Supreme Court said it was.
Yeah.
Anyway, even though Clarence Thomas and Alito said that as a little bit of a dissenting, they did not say they would look at the evidence.
Right.
They did not say that. There may be, when they come up to their tribunal, in the military tribunal, they will explain what and why and what they did. And perhaps the justices will be lenient because they probably had forces that were forcing them through life and limb to say at least that. I don't know the background. I don't know what's going on behind the scenes in all these things. I have no idea. I don't know if these people on the day that they made that decision, their families were locked up in a stockade somewhere by the globalists. Oh, by the way, all the globalists of the United States will be on that list and be in the FEMA camps. Bill Gates, all of them. And everybody who's in the country at the time of this minute, everyone in the country, whether he's a citizen or not, is in the FEMA camp. Done. Okay? They're all trying to overturn our government. They are all guilty of fighting against our country. All of them. We're going to arrest them. We'll try them as spies because they weren't in uniform. Hang them really quick. Oh, we wouldn't hurt us a bit. We'd put Soros in the gallows. Ah, did I say that? Oh my. Anyway.
I agree. And I want to just toss this out there because for those purists listening and watching this, the Insurrection Act of 1807 has been updated legally by law in the U.S. Code, 10 U.S.C. section 252 is one example. I'm not sure if it's the latest example, but 10 U.S.C. section 252, which just states, and I'll just be real quick with this, whenever the president considers that unlawful obstructions, combinations, or assemblages or rebellion against the authority of the United States makes it impractical to enforce the laws of the United States in any state by the ordinary course of judicial proceedings, he may call into federal service such of the militia of any state and use such of the armed forces as he considers necessary to enforce laws, those laws to suppress the rebellion. And I submit to you the rebellion, of course, is the, this communist insurrection or communist, yeah, communist yes. insurrection.
Title 10, USC 242. Huh? Well, that's very good. Now we have an actual federal law saying all the things that I've been trying to say just now. But everything.
Yes, yes. And that's 252, folks. 10 USC section 252. But, okay, so, either way, again, Richard Proctor, Provost Institute, it's not too late. And even though this is, we're in this time, look, you need to know this. Saving the Constitution. Do it before, do it, just do it. Do it, period. Christmas is coming and, next week, so do this. But, and Bathroom Economics too, because it's all about the money. Follow the money. And every other book there, Liberty Series as well. Okay, so.
Doug, let me mention something.
Go ahead. Go ahead.
You said even though we're in this time, they should buy the book. No, 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 no. Because we're in this time, we should buy the book.
Yes.
Not
you.
Even though.
I do stand corrected.
There is nothing else that will give you the thing, the need, the stuff you need to know what the Constitution says. Everything else is garbled by what the Supreme Court, in their wisdom, has thrown out.
You know,
and that wisdom is a tongue-in-cheek. They haven't any. I'm really ready. The stupid court's really, really ringing true for me.
Stupid court. And it was, I don't know if it's getting stupider, and that's my word, of course, but, I was impressed because I was picking up this book a lot over the last couple of days and reading what you'd written. And again, folks, I don't need to sales pitch this. Okay. I really don't. You either get it or you don't. You either purchase it or you don't. But the fact is, this has a lot of information about what we're in right now and even the remedies too. So, okay. I also want to mention this. I wrote some notes when you were talking. You mentioned the electors. Did you know the Clintons and Andrew Cuomo were the electors in the state of New York? I mean, how does that happen?
Not surprised, but there they are. It's because the legislature is corrupted. How they're being chosen is corrupted. That's why.
Man.
It's the whole thing. The whole thing is corrupted right from the start. January 1 till the election time, the whole country has been corrupted to destroy this presidency and thus being able to destroy the country. How long do you think the country will last if Joe Biden starts, he gets replaced by Harris? How long do you think this country will last? How many months do you think we'll still have a free country?
It's a great question.
He'll never see another election. Nobody's going to abide by the Constitution in that group. They're all going to have martial law immediately. I mean, Trump shouldn't do martial law. It's scary. Oh, no, don't do that. It'll be a dictator. Oh, government's going to take over the military. Oh, no martial law. Oh, no, don't do that. We better not let him stay. Oh, we'll get Biden. It'll be done in a minute.
But by the way, I like that, and thank you for pounding on the table. I like that little jump because that was like the exclamation point, which
yes,
we needed. that's good. okay.
The camera went up and down.
I love it. I mean, believe me, if this
but
table,
it was on purpose. We've got to understand these things. I can't say it any clearer.
Yeah,
we're in terrible, terrible trouble, and we think that these other guys might help us. Oh, you dummies that have voted for the other side. Oh, you think the government's going to help you, give you more money? I'm getting money from the government, so I better vote for the Democrats to get more money. No, you won't get more money. You'll get less, and you'll have less to buy, and you're going to starve to death. Watch Dr. Zhivago again. Please.
There you go.
You will see it. Those people had lives that were now living in squalor. They didn't have enough wood to keep their house is warm. They used to, but they don't anymore. Why? Because the socialists are coming.
Let me ask you if I can back up here.
I'll be quiet for a few minutes.
No, I don't want you to be quiet because I've got so many questions. And, you know, I know right now subpoenas are flying. I think Arizona, Nevada, I'm not sure where. I think Arizona. for the forensic analysis of the voting machines. We had that done in Antrim County in Michigan. The results, of course, are at HagmanReport.com website. But that's not going to help anything, is it? I mean,
yeah, I worry about that. Subpoenas are flying. That's very nice. Before the guy comes, because they know a subpoena's coming, they wipe it dry. Now what?
Yeah, exactly.
The military are flying without any subpoenas to collect the stuff. Don't ask, get.
There you go. And it, again, going back to the original analogy of a murder investigation, you know, it's very easy to hide a murder weapon. It's very easy to, in some cases, you know, so we have to act. And that's why I think Sam Andrews comes into play. But let me back up even more here a little bit. The elections, or the electors, what we saw this week, the electors meeting on Monday, casting their votes, we saw the electors for President Trump, which would represent the President Trump's electors, or the, in my view, the correct slate of electors, in one case in Michigan, being turned away. That's not constitutional, is it?
No, it is not.
Who in the hell's following the Constitution these days? No one.
That's why I said in the very beginning of this, we have no Constitution, so we better get busy and clean house.
Amen to
that. We have no Constitution left. What was this garbage that I heard this guy, one of these guys on that clip say, you can't do the First Amendment and the Second Amendment together. You can't do that. What do you mean you can't do it? You do all 10 of them at once. What are you talking about?
Well, Sam, that's the thing that Sam Andrews had said. They will tell you, they meaning the police.
Yeah,
or,
that was him who did that.
You cannot exercise your First Amendment rights and Second Amendment rights at the same time. For example, there are city ordinances where you can't go with your gun to the park or the National Mall. The National Mall is the people's area to speak. You can't go there armed. You know, that's what he was referencing.
That's all. And that's all unconstitutional. Every bit of that. Every bit.
That's exactly
Constitution
right.
Doesn't say anything about where you can go and can't go. Constitution doesn't say anything about sickness or disease. Constitution doesn't say anything about all the things they're making up to try to get around the Constitution.
Exactly. And to what you're saying there, I was earlier before the show, I was talking with my daughter-in-law and she was saying, well, you know, my gosh, you know, what's closed now for crying out loud, you know, meaning our governor, the, bluest of the blue Democratic, morons. And that's Tom Wolf. Illustrious, infamous Rachel Levine. I refer to that as Cousin It, saying that, you know, people have got to stay in their houses. It's Christmas, but people have got to stay in their houses. Isn't that called house arrest when you're told to stay in your house?
Yes, they're being incarcerated without trial. That's what that's doing. Incarceration without trial.
All right.
That's okay, guys in Pennsylvania, whenever any form of government become destructive to our ends, meaning inalienable rights, God-given rights, it is the right, I say responsibility, of the people to alter or abolish it. What are you doing in Pennsylvania to fix it?
Well, first of all, I mean, I'm exercising civil disobedience.
No, I don't mean you. I mean the people of Pennsylvania. Why aren't they doing something to alter the government that's stepping on their toes? The Declaration of Independence says do it.
That's it, yeah. Okay. So that's a call to action on a state level, which I think local and state levels are going to be equally important here. And I think you've often said that as well, that we need to.
But you see, yes, you're right, Doug. But remember, here's the situation. Many of our governors and our leaders and our legislatures in our states are complicit to this whole thing.
Absolutely.
They're complicit.
Yep.
They're the guys. It's really the states that are doing this lockout stuff and all this other stuff to destroy the economy. It hasn't been the federal government. It's been the states. It's the states that are destroying our freedoms. Why aren't we altering any of these governments? We didn't even alter them in the election in November. We voted all the same guys back in again. Oh, that's really thinking.
Hmm.
Why aren't we the people, patriots, We the people altering the government or attempting to alter the government. Just because we had an election in November doesn't mean that we can't alter what's going on anyway.
Which is why I'm glad you sat through the first two clips of one Johnson, one Senator Gary Peters, and then Johnson, where Peters accused Johnson of being an authoritarian or imposing authoritarian practices, which in fact is exactly what they're doing in terms of, well, both the response to this supposed virus and as well as the response to the election fraud. So,
in fact, Doug, you know this. Everybody knows this, but we don't usually say it. Everyone that yells and screams at you are doing exactly what they're yelling and screaming at you for doing.
That's a good, yep, yep.
Every one of
them. I admire your wisdom. I you know, you are a wise man, and I admire that. And I'm not just blowing smoke. I'm saying I admire your wisdom because you've seen enough over the years where you can say, look, this is not right. And for you to point out, or for you to say, okay, I wrote the book Saving the Constitution. For you to say, well, let's put this aside for a minute for the sake of our republic and allow President Trump to, or, you know, have him, he institutes the Insurrection Act. I mean, that to me, coming from you.
I'd be one of the very first champion that cause. I will also champion the cause of putting it back in place again as soon as the cancer is removed.
Yeah. Yes, I agree. But, and Lincoln, you know, I've got a couple of books in my library that, and I've got an extensive library, Lincoln Unmasked and What Lincoln Did. That book, Lincoln Unmasked, is pretty damning to, Lincoln.
Oh yes, they write what they want to write.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's why I wouldn't ever read the book, The Jefferson Lies, because I thought the title was what was in it. Turns out it was lies about Jefferson. I wish they'd have titled it properly. People write what they want, and then they pretend like it's true.
Yeah. Oh, for want of a new title or for cover space. I get that. every time you mention that, it makes me chuckle because, yeah, it just does. All right.
Doug, here's a thought.
Go for it.
I want to think this is a good moment because you're talking about the books and the authors. I'm going to read a statement I wrote here about not 10 days ago, all by my lonely self. We are a nation of uninformed informers informing a people that have no idea what's right or wrong, that then follow every wind no matter where it leads.
That was pretty profound.
We're a nation of uninformed informers informing a people that have no idea what is right or wrong, that then follow every wind no matter where it leads.
Wow.
And that's today, folks.
I'm going to mark that down here on this video because that's pretty profound there. That's okay. Got it. Yeah.
And people writing books like that are uninformed informers. And we read the book and we become people not having any idea what's right or wrong, and we run the direction that the uninformed informers tell us to do.
And we are a nation of uninformed informers. I'll tell you that.
Yes, we are.
Man.
We really.
Yeah, indeed. It's really something. And even at the level of, those who we elect, my goodness. But you know what I'm seeing? I just want to tell you this. And then again, you go wherever you want, but I'm seeing, right now, there's two camps, of course, in this country, the ones who, are really trying to do whatever is possible to legally, you know, through the legal system to correct what happened on November 3rd and the running up to that. And then there's a camp that, just says they're saying nothing happened. It's all a head fake. I mean, it's all fake news. Nothing happened. There was no election fraud. It strains credulity to me because it goes to your uninformed informers. It strains credulity to me where, people actually believe that nothing happened. that the election wasn't stolen. Have they been, Richard Proctor, have they been in a cave or something? I mean, I don't quite, how can you look at evidence?
They were taught not to think in their school system for decades. They've been taught over and over and over again that what the media hammers home and what the government wants is true. And the government will always be your aid and helper. And never, ever even think that the government won't do exactly the proper thing at the proper time. They've been taught that. They've been taught to rely on the government as if they were their mother and father, who do look after you the best they can at all times. But they're not looking for their mother and father, although they think they are. They've been taught. It's been hammered in them to don't think about things, just do what we're told over and over again. These people have no idea what's going on around them. I think to myself, I live in a good neighborhood, but I watch the people in this neighborhood. They have no idea what's going on around them. Oh, well, I better do that. Oh, I better do that. It's interesting to me to note, I went to see a young lady here this week, who, very nice person, by the way, very nice. Although I got an email from her before I went to see her that says, you got to have a mask, you got to have hand sanitizer, you got to have everything. So I had the feeling that when I went to see her, I would be faced with a problem. No, I wasn't faced with a problem at all. She agreed 100%. She only wrote those things because she sends it out to everybody in case there are a lot of people who don't understand. She doesn't want them mad at her. I said, you know, you don't have to wear that mask. Bingo, it's gone. Oh, thank you very much.
So that's a quiet kind of a, I don't want to say passive aggressive, but that's an interesting way. So we pretend that we're complying, and then we don't comply.
Right. We've got millions of people in that category. They're only doing it because they're afraid somebody else would mad them if they don't.
Then, and parents, you take the kids out of the room. then why don't we collectively say to our governors, stick it up your asses? And I mean, why don't
we're afraid that their neighbor will turn us in for thinking that.
Well, I'm going
to
say
it. You see how close we are to a police state?
Yes.
Our neighbors will turn us in because we thought that.
Have at it, neighbors. But see.
I understand.
And that goes back to what Sam Andrews is doing, you know, and forgive me for interrupting, but you know, it's like we lost our Fourth Amendment rights, with these scanners and stuff, TSA at the airport. So you say, I'm not going to be subjected to that, you know. And so you got one person saying that, they arrest them. Five people, oh, there might be a little story in the news. But 500 or 5,000, no, they're going to stand right down, right?
If everybody would gather together, he said go in groups, don't go individually. Go individually, they're going to arrest you and throw you in jail on a trumped-up charge. And that's exactly what they will do. But if you go in 100, they won't. And motorcycle guys on their motorcycles, as they roar into town, won't be bothered at all. The police are afraid of them.
Yep.
And I'm glad they are. Roar in and do the stuff that needs to be done.
You know, I hope that you and I live to see the positive resolution of this whole thing. Do you have hope? Do you have hope?
Say that again. Oh, hope? Yes, I do.
Okay.
Oh, I have full confidence that Trump's going to do exactly what it takes to save this country. I also have full confidence that there's going to be an awful lot of people yelling and screaming at him for doing it. And the media should be in the FEMA camps that are going to be the fomenters of that. So they're not going to be there.
You know, I know you don't do social media.
Never. But, I won't go on it. Right.
All right. Well, President Trump, I think earlier this week, I could be wrong, sent a message out on Twitter that was banned. Okay, it was banned.
It must have been good. President of the United States was censored. How about that?
Yeah. So okay, I guess I don't even know if I have a question in there, except I'm looking at this in horror and disbelief.
Yes. They think they have the right to censor any of us, but especially not the president.
Right.
I mean, he's in charge of the country. He's trying to get his message out. You know, I was reading a book once about that. The president was having an awful lot of trouble getting his message out through the media. It wasn't talking about social media, just media. Couldn't get them. The minute he started to talk about what he wanted to, they shut their cameras off and went home. So he invoked the National Emergency Broadcast System, and nobody could stop that.
Wow. That would work.
Yes, it would.
And, wow, okay.
He got around the media completely. Went out, period. Everything he wanted got out. He didn't even try to get by the social media or the ABC, NBC, CBS garbage.
Okay. I don't want to just lose you or, you know, I want to get some other questions in here too.
Please do. We've only got 15 minutes left. 20 minutes. Go ahead.
20 minutes. Exactly 20. Anyway, Joseph Biden. There's no way in hell that this guy can get a security clearance. Does the president of the United States need a security clearance? I mean,
well, you know, that's an interesting point. You guys have watched Tora, Tora, Tora?
Yeah. Yep.
Well, in there in the middle, they took the president off the Secret Service information they were passing out. They took the president off the list.
Right.
Come on, folks. What's going on? Well, he'll leak the information. He's still the president of the United States. He's in charge. But they did, in that movie, they did take the president off the list. Yes, they could. Well, I don't, you know, he's not supposed to take the president off the list. He's in charge. He is in charge, folks.
Yeah, I don't know. You know, I look at all of the disclosures, and I have to believe that some of these recent disclosures are timed appropriately. Or deliberately timed. The release of information about Fang Fang, Swalwell, and others. I mean, wow. You know, you talk about eye-opening a bit of information for the American people. But then you got CNN, MSNBC. They won't cover it, or if they cover it, it's for only 3 minutes, or it's only for a minute. Or it's fake news.
Yeah, that's why the emergency broadcast system works.
Boy, there would be some people really, you know, dirtying their drawers if the EBS went off. But anyway,
Hey, you know, you've got to use the tools you've got. And sure. He needs all the tools he can get. And he can't mamby-pamby to these media people or the social media and use them as the source. They'll cut his stuff off or they'll change it. It's kind of like this. I used to write editorials to the newspaper regularly about the Constitution. They edited them and put them out. Didn't say what I wanted to say at all.
That's dangerous, isn't it?
Then they stopped allowing me to print. My name came in, it didn't go.
I often think, and this is not a sales pitch or anything, this is just two guys talking. I'm allowed to write for the Wisconsin Christian News, and it's a good newspaper. It's probably one of the premier newspapers in the country in terms of Christian news. I was writing, and I thought when I was writing the last article for this paper, I was thinking, you know, who would be a good fit for this would be Richard Proctor, Provost's Institute. Because you have so much knowledge in addition to what you've written already. By the way, folks, do it. Buy it right now. Right now. Just open the new tab and buy this book. Go to provostinstitute.com. Or if you're watching this, just scroll down and then click the link to Provost Institute. And then when you're on there, buy Saving the Constitution. It's not that hard. And I bet you it'll get there before Christmas. And you know, I would put this at, 8 years and up. I don't know.
Yes, that kind of thing is available. 8 years and up is probably right. But if you're worried about the 8-year-old, the Constitution, if you can keep it, works.
Yeah.
Just as well.
And yes, and all of the books, Liberty Series, which has got a tremendous amount of backstory. And you know what? This is another thing I was thinking about. We are in this position because we didn't act on the warnings that you provided in the Liberty Series, in the information. It's right there.
I tried to do it. I started doing it on the David Knight Show a year and a half ago. Long before any of this stuff started, I started telling people what to do to avoid things like this. It's written down. Nice. I wrote these first in 2006 up to 2012 in my newsletters. Then I put all those newsletters into books that I started publishing in 2015. Those published books, 2015, 16, 17, and 18, could answer all these questions for anybody who'd looked at them. And it was almost like they were fiction or taboo. It didn't sell very many. Now I do, but boy, we're sure in a spot now if we'd have been paying attention to this same stuff a year and a half ago, even when you and I started on the yep. in March. We started in March. If they just paid attention in March, we'd be in better shape than we are today.
And thanks for the reminder. I was wondering when you and I began.
4th of March was our first show.
I'm going to write that down too. Let's see here.
Yeah, that's what I looked at. I've got a little note here that says first show, 4th of March.
Yeah, there we go. We've got all the shows on archive. And the archive is still up on YouTube, although we are not putting our stuff on YouTube because frankly, I'm not going to play their game. Now watch that they'll just take us down. But if they do take us down, the archive will be elsewhere for you. So you're right. I mean, the Biden/Harris ticket, which shouldn't be anyway, you see as part of a global reset that they're talking about, the Build Back Better, green. Yes. Okay.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. Biden is the excuse they're using to bring in a non-citizen called Harris. Biden won't sit there very long. He just hasn't got it. And so even if he's put in the office and takes the oath, before the day's out, he will have already made statements that were stupid. The House will come really closely. Maybe it'll wait a month. And they'll submit articles under Article 20 on the 25th Amendment, and they'll say he's incompetent. He'll bumble about trying to come back and say he isn't. Then he'll be gone, and the next person in line is Harrison. That's what they want. Or they'll kick her out because she's not a citizen, and Nancy will take over. That's what they're looking for. Look at the chain here we have. Look at the chain.
Eric's sleeping at the switch. That would have called for any one of those
I got hairy legs that turn blonde in the sun.
That's the next, you know, or not the next, but that's the best.
Come on, man.
That's the best they got, right? It's the best they got.
Yeah. That's the best they've got. Can you believe that? That's the best they've got.
Yeah. And you know, I've done a lot of praying about this. I really have about our country and about, because I look at my grandchildren and I think, you know, I can't leave this mess to them. I was holding my grandson earlier today, and I've got a beautiful new granddaughter. She's just such a sweetheart. Eric, the tech's daughter, my daughter, Jackie, I look at, and you know, it almost drives me to my knees. So we can't let this go. Folks, saving the Constitution, yes. You know, saving the Constitution, please. Go ahead.
You know, Doug, every day before we come on the air, every morning before we come on the air, I ask for inspiration so I'll say the right things. I don't know if I pay attention to what the right things are, but that's what I ask for every day. I have great-grandchildren now who've been born. I'm concerned about my grandchildren, I'm concerned about my children, I'm concerned about my great-grandchildren. This is a terrible situation. And we're not fixing it. If we don't do something to fix it, this won't be the end. If we leave these people to continue to do, you know, by just, well, don't do it anymore, Trump will be president, but don't do this anymore. He'll just live through for another year, another year, another year, and all of us will be in the same boat. Riots will get on. Put all the rioters in a FEMA camp before you even get a chance to riot.
Well, now are you not going into the area of thought crimes? I mean, I believe.
No. I'm going into these people did it. They did it.
Okay, there
you
go.
We're not talking about people that might do it. We're talking about they did do it. And put them in the FEMA camp.
I agree. Because I look at these people that are out there smacking around Christians and the Antifa / BLM crowd. It's a Marxist, Maoist insurgency in this country.
Well, if we were to muzzle the leaders of these kinds of things, less of it would occur.
Right.
Remember, people lower themselves to the least common denominator. If they think they can get away with something, they do. But if they think they can't get away with it, they don't. That's where we are. That's the natural man. That's bad stuff. A bad person will always rise to the top every time. The bad person is there already disappears, a new one will rise to the top with the same stuff or more. No, you gotta cure the cancer, not of what people are thinking. No, I'm not gonna do that. But if they do it, and they did it, we have the names of all the people who were rioters, we have all the names who were planning it, we have all the names of the people who funded them. Pick them all up. Only the ones who did action. Pick them all up. Put them in the FEMA camps. Judge them by the evidence. Do whatever you want to do with them.
Amen to that.
They emptied all the prisons. Remember, they emptied all the prisons earlier this year because they were afraid of the COVID-19 stuff.
Oh, yeah.
There's plenty of room now at the prisons to put all these people in it.
Yeah, yeah, and not the COVID violators, as they call them, but the people who are actually rioting and destroying property. It's amazing because you and I spoke, and I've spoken separately and independently. You know, right now you've got a district attorney, a George Soros finance district attorney in Los Angeles County by the name of George Gascon. He's now saying, well, my office is not going to prosecute all things like shoplifting, you know, minor assaults, you know, it's okay. It's right. Unbelievable.
But he is going to prosecute business owners that won't lock up their businesses.
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah. Yes.
That's the kind of guy who'd be in the FEMA camp, by the way, because he's destroying our country. Remember, pursuit of happiness, all those things of the Declaration of Independence. We're in 1776, folks. We are not in 2020. We are in 1776, precisely. We need to read what was said by the brethren in 1776, and we need to do what those people said. You've got to do it as a group, in mass. We've got to fix this country.
You know, brother, I don't think a year ago, probably, I don't think, I mean, I knew that things were coming, but a year ago to suspect that we would be in today, this position today, I don't think I would have outlined it to this extent. But boy,
although we're here. Doug, a year ago, when the first inclination of this disease came, I started putting stuff away to save our family when we couldn't buy anything anymore. I saw that coming. I saw it coming the 1st of January. I wrote the book that tells people what's going to happen.
Yep.
I did what my book told me to do.
Yep. And if I'm not mistaken, you and I have talked about that too, to the extent that,
yes.
Yeah.
See, the book isn't about current events. It's about past events, demonstrating what current events will be.
Right. Exactly. It's masterfully written too. Saving the Constitution, the Liberty Series. They're all masterfully written. Every one of the books. Go to provostinstitute.com. But let me ask you this. Obviously I'm not going to get the vaccine, and I'm certain you're going to opt out too, I would suspect. But
that's right to suspect that.
Okay, it's unconstitutional. Am I correct?
Yeah, it's unconstitutional completely. They can't give us a shot we don't want.
Right.
What I would hope it would be is, well, you haven't had your shot yet. You want to take it today? No. Okay. Now that's what I hope it would be.
But you know, it's going to go. If you haven't taken your shot, then you can't go to the airport, you can't travel, you can't, and then pretty soon you can't buy groceries, and then you can't do banking, and then all of a sudden you're going to be, you know, in a camp, re-education camp for lepers.
Yes. Now that really sounds like a good environment, doesn't it? Yeah. All you people who are planning to take the shot, take that to mind. If the government tells you you have to have it, there must be a reason why they want you to have it. Don't do anything the government wants you to do by, you know, that kind of thing. It's outside the Constitution. Read Amendment 4. Read just the first few words of the Fourth Amendment. It says you have a right to your person, period. All the abortionists knew that. My body, my body, my choice, right? Well, my body, my choice. I ain't taking that thing. Right? Isn't that the same thing?
Yep. Yeah. Use their argument against them like they use it against us.
Yes, of course, they won't pay any attention. They won't pay any attention. They only use arguments that they like when they like them. And if you try to use it, they throw it in your face. You can't do that.
And you know, it just blows my mind. Look, if you believe in the vaccination so much, then you take it and you'll be fine, right? I mean.
Yep, that's right. I let anybody who wants to take it. I don't care. I mean, I do care if my family does it, but I really don't care. I'm not going to do it, and I should have the option to choose. If I do, okay. If I have the option, that's okay. Then I'll make my own decision. Thank you very much. Right. I haven't had a flu shot for decades. They always ask me at the VA, do you want your flu shot? No, I'm not letting that poison in my body. Okay. End of discussion.
Yep.
If they treat it that way, okay. But that's not the goal, folks. Don't get me wrong. The goal is to get this shot in you so you'll do one of two things, die or be controlled. One or the other. Well, both of those aren't good, are they?
No.
But that's the solution. You'll either die or be controlled. That's all. No other choice. That thing in your body, they're going to put whatever they call them, little nanodes or whatever, in your body. You will never, ever lose. They will always know where you are based upon 5G network systems.
That's right.
They'll find you anywhere you are.
Or whatever the iteration of the G is.
Hey, I don't have a phone. They can't find me. Oh, yeah, when you walk by your neighbor who does have one, they found you.
That's right.
Folks.
Go ahead.
You have two options when you take the shot. You'll either die or you'll be controlled. There's no other middle. There's no middle ground. Those are your two things. So if you want those, if you feel you're going to be safe because you take that injection, just remember, I think it was Benjamin Franklin says, well, anybody who will give up freedom for security will have neither. Anybody who will take the shot so they'll be safe will have neither.
Yep.
Yep. Life or liberty.
Wow. Richard Proctor.
This is not fake stuff, folks.
No.
In the gall of Satan. This is all satanic, by the way, every bit of it. Wearing the mask is furthering the satanic program. Even if you don't believe it, if you're wearing a mask, you're furthering his goals.
I like it. I mean, I like that simple explanation. I want to tell you, you're going to be the last guest before our Christmas break, which is going to be a week from today, because the following day is Christmas Eve. So if you have that time available a week from today, hopefully you do, right?
You mean on Christmas Eve?
No. A week from today is going to be the December 23rd.
Oh, I've got the time. Absolutely.
Okay. All right. So I just want to make sure. I
wouldn't pass up the opportunity to help people understand what's going on for anything. Day. If you want to do it on Christmas Day, I'll do it with you.
I don't think that's necessary.
Well, you don't think that's necessary. I don't think many will watch.
Well,
it's not the thing for Christmas Day.
No, of course not.
Not right. But I was just trying to give an illustration. I make my time available to you.
And you've been very gracious, which leads me back to our Sunday program. And I think the job was well done. I think that we got ahead of that narrative, although it's nonetheless, it's still being pushed and stuff, but they had a narrative that about the, drop dead date of the 8th or whatever. I can't remember whatever date that was.
Yeah, the 8th was the drop dead day. Yeah, they call them the dates, the safe day and all that.
Safe Harbor Day.
No. None of it is. The 20th of January is the day.
And that's what people need to understand. We're still in this constitutionally until January 20th at noon, high noon. And there's a, that's constitutional. Yeah, I think we're out of time. I just want to say thank you so very much. It was a very good program. I really appreciate you. And folks, please do me a solid right now. If you're going to looking for, if you only have so much money and you're thinking about buying coffee or saving the Constitution, go with Saving the Constitution. Okay. For Christmas. Please do that. Well, that's how much I believe in.
Just your personal use. Folks, this is the time you need it worse than you needed it before.
That's right. That's right. This is, I'm telling you, I have this with me just about all the time. So I appreciate you. Thank you so very much. May God bless. And we'll talk next Wednesday.
You bet.
All right.
Take care.
Good night, folks. I appreciate every one of you. Thank you for your support. Thank you so much for being part of this platform. And thanks for your prayers. Thanks for your financial support. May God bless. Good night.